Although the readings seem quite portentous, no, they are very much so, I want to take a slightly different way of entering into Advent this year. A few weeks back, and again this morning on social media, Bruce Bryant Scott, former executive archdeacon of this diocese and for a while incumbent of St. Matthias Fairfield, and now vicar of Crete. He's enjoying the sunshine at this moment. Anyway, apart from that, I'm not jealous. Bruce shared how this is his favorite time of year. And he refers to the word apocalypse and its original meaning, which is not the end of the world as we've come to talk about it, but it actually comes from the Greek word apokalypsis, meaning revelation or disclosure. In modern terms, we've narrowed it down to mean this fantastical story at the end of the world. We talk about apocalyptic events happening. Yet at heart, even with the images in the books of the Bible that we call apocalyptic literature, with images of beasts with eyes inside and out, or great wars in heaven, they're still only concerned with one thing: the revealing of God's greatest desire for humanity, the doing away with all that hurts and destroys, and giving fullness of the divine life which makes all things new. We have a lot of that in today's scripture readings. From the patient awaiting God's greatness to be revealed in the book of Isaiah, which somehow betrays that kind of understanding that if bad things happen, God must be angry with us, and if good things happen, God is happy with us, which we know is not the case. So Isaiah has a particular mindset, but within it there is this patience of awaiting, this view of God's greatness, this revelation of God's greatness. And then you have the revelation of Jesus Christ in all their fullness that the writer of 1 Corinthians is hoping for. And then you have Jesus' stories, which are more like what we would consider the eschaton. Hey, two Greek words in one sermon. I must sound like I know something. But eschaton means ending. An end of all things, when the triumphant return of the one called the Son of Man will see balance restored and wrongs righted. Interestingly, about that passage from Mark, many biblical scholars would say that our gospel reading, often called the little apocalypse of Mark's gospel, is, though it's put into the mouth of Jesus, is much more aligned with the experience of the church 40 years after Jesus' death. They have experienced the crisis of the destruction of the temple and the diaspora of the Jewish people, the scattering of the Jewish people. They've experienced what is in effect a cosmic shake-up of their world, and the promise of the return of Jesus to sort everything out is something that the early church very much holds on to, as evidenced in the book of the Apocalypse of St. John the Divine, the book commonly referred to as Revelation. But Mark here in this gospel mixes up the formula of apocalypse, which usually has the divine figure appear at the beginning, then a great cosmic disturbance, and then the reordering of reality through divine judgment. Instead, Mark has the cosmic disturbance, then the appearance of the divine figure, and no message of final judgment. Instead, a gathering in of all the righteous to a place of safety, which makes it look much more like words of comfort to the early church undergoing persecution. But that's something of a digression. We begin this season of Advent, this season of waiting, this season of preparation, with a reminder that we are still in a period of apocalypse. Indeed, the church is always in apocalypse, as the life of God is revealed to, between, within, and hopefully by the community of faith. We are a people of revelation. We are an apocalyptic community called to reveal the life of God to the world in all we are and in all we do. I think the church certainly feels at the moment that we're in an apocalyptic time in the more common usage of it. But we feel, I'm sure, that we're waiting for something, but we don't know what. We're hoping for something, but we don't know what. For many of us, we're in a place where we feel that something is happening, but we aren't quite sure what it is or when it will come to fruition. As I was preparing my thoughts for this morning, I had a scripture verse which kept running through my mind, which wasn't set for today. It's from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. I'm thinking of adopting that as our parish motto for the coming year. What we will be has not yet been revealed. Something I think the bishop is alluding to every time she says, the future will not be like the past, but the future is bright. We're in a time of social upheaval and church change. It's an uncertain future. And like our forebears in faith, experienced in times of upheaval and change, this can bring about feelings of anxiety and fear. And when we act out of fear, we tend to veer towards those things that make us feel safe. We cut ourselves off from others. We haul up the drawbridge. We want to return to the way we've always done things. We want things to be like the good old days, whatever that means. And I'm not being down on that. It's who we are. It's how we feel. It's a natural reaction. It's what we do. No judgment. And so this Advent, I want us to think about who we are becoming as community. To take this opportunity to consider our way forward together. To seek the revelation of what we are to be. And also to be aware of who we are and what we have that's worth celebrating and building on. Our sense of welcome, our inquisitiveness, the fullness of our worship gatherings, the richness of our worship gatherings, and the variety of ways of praying and being together that we have. The wisdom that exists in this and just about any room where members of St. John's are gathered together. The compassion so generously shared by this community, not just within our ranks, but beyond our walls. In our gospel for today, we are given Advent goals. Read the signs, like in the semi-parable of the fig tree. Recognize that we are to work in community to stay awake, as in the story of the servants preparing for the imminent return of their master. I don't believe, nor do many progressive theologians, that that return is one day off, is one day far off. All things being sorted when Jesus returns again. But I believe that that return is happening day by day. If we have the eyes to see it, we can see Christ come again in one another, in every act of love and service, in every gracious encounter with one another, in every challenge to injustice, in every act that increases equity, that gives voice to those who have been excluded and silenced. In every moment when we recognize Christ in unexpected places and people, Christ comes again. We are encouraged in this Advent time to be ready, ready for the Christ who comes to us again and again and again. And we're encouraged not to do that alone. In the last part of the passage from Mark's Gospel, we are reminded that each member of the household has work to do in staying alert for the signs of the Master. It's not about each of us in fight or flight mode all of the time, being alert, not healthy for our mental or physical state, but about all of us in community recognizing that we have a part, so that as a whole, we are there when the apocalypse, the revelation, appears. So I encourage us all in this season of Advent to reflect on our part in this community and reflect, quoting the great Ted Lasso, who in turn quotes the great Walt Whitman, do this by being curious, not judgmental. Think of the gifts that you bring to this place and the gifts that you get from it. I know that I could not do the work that I need to do for St. John's, our diocese, and this community in which we are placed without being supported by this community. If we are to continue to grow in faith, hope, and love, we need to recognize that we each have a part and each are valued in this spiritual community. May Advent be a time of celebration and reflection and revelation for all of us together. Amen.